Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Now, more with award-winning writer and filmmaker Stephen Most.
A recent film you did was Nature's Orchestra. This was part of a PBS series. And talk about this as people increasingly leave the cities behind. There's wildlife in the cities. And one thing that you looked into was listening to the natural sound, the recording of the natural sound. And now that critical is a critical indicator of the health of today's habitats. Talk about that, because that was a series, that was a documentary that really got to a lot of people thinking and maybe being a little more appreciative of the role of nature.
Well, the population of the world is increasingly urbanized, and we live within these artificial environments. We have our temperature regulated. We have light and dark regulated. You can be indoors at all times of the year and not know what time it is or
exactly
how cold or hot it is, and have one's attention and one's knowledge focused on screens, little screens and big screens, so that we can live within an entirely human-created and regulated environment, a physical environment and an information environment. And it can be a real breakthrough for people just to go outside and listen. And listen to voices that are not just human voices, because they're out there. I happen to know a really great and wonderful man, Bernie Krause, who's had a fascinating career, and I had a chance to make this film, Nature's Orchestra, about his work as a soundscape ecologist. He's a musician as well. He, as a young man, performed with the Weavers. He took Pete Seeger's place in the Weavers, and they had a big reunion in Carnegie Hall, and Bernie would create scores for movies, and he was in studios all the time, having horrible relationships with George Harrison and other people. He introduced the Moog synthesizer to a number of musicians and helped with film scores like Apocalypse Now. So he had quite a career going. I think George Lucas fired him 5 times and increased his salary each time he came back. But one day Bernie went outside. Somebody taught him the word ecology. So he said, well, maybe I'll make an album about ecology. So he went to Muir Woods, which is a redwood forest right near San Francisco. And he started listening through, you know, with good earphones and with a good microphone recording nature sounds, and I think it blew his mind. He said, you know, he didn't want to be in studios anymore. He wanted to go everywhere on the planet and record nature sounds for the rest of his life. Well, a lot of people record bird sounds and so on, but as a musician, Bernie had another breakthrough. He was hired by the California Academy to go to a waterhole in Kenya to record the wild sounds of 24 hours. And as he did this in a little tent, listening to hyenas and what have you,
exactly,
all of the bird life, he realized that this reminded him of a symphony. And when he looked at what he had recorded on a spectrograph, the different nature sounds fell into frequency niches, just like, you know, notes in a symphony. So all of a sudden, he understood that there's an ecology of nature sounds. And that really was the basis for the science of soundscape ecology. So this is really fascinating to me. But it turned into a good movie, because Bernie went with a couple of other nature sound recordists to the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. And some guys came and filmed this expedition, and I found out about it. The years had passed, nothing happened with it. They had 30 hours of footage. So that became the basis for Nature's Orchestra.
It is a fascinating and a moving, it's just brilliantly done. That's Nature's Orchestra. Unfortunately, time going by so quickly on the program. Stephen Most, our guest on the program, we're talking about his new book, Stories Make the World, Reflections on Storytelling and the Art of the Documentary. Stephen's award-winning writer and filmmaker. His website is stephenmost.com. If you go to the website videoproject.com/stories, you can stream and download seven of the films that Stephen writes about. It's sort of like what Stephen, you get your own film festival going there. If you go online, you can look at those stories as you're reading them in the book. And the time I have left, at the end of the book, you talk about the role of the internet and digital devices. Tell me a little bit about that, and if you're encouraged, and if this is going to open a whole new window for documentary filmmakers and a whole new audience.
Well, I've been speaking about negative aspects of the information revolution we've had, because anything can be presented out of context, and there it is on the internet, so you think it's a fact.
Yes.
But there are very positive aspects of the internet as well, and they have influenced the craft of documentary filmmaking and the art of making these films in a big way. For example, you can get tremendous amounts of information almost instantaneously that would take a lot of digging to identify people, to communicate with them, to find relevant resources like books and articles. Those can be found very rapidly on the internet. So it's greatly accelerated the research and extended the range of what you can find out about many subjects. Then, too, you can communicate with people all over the world, all over the planet, which is very helpful in identifying people you can learn from and people who can be in your film. In addition to that, we can eliminate the bottleneck of funders to some extent by doing crowdsourcing through sites like Indiegogo and Kickstarter, so that one can raise money for a film by going to the audience and building a network. You don't have to depend on some executive making a decision whether to green light you. And then, of course, the distribution, well, you can also access all sorts of archival footage through the internet. That's extremely helpful in editing. And then once you have the film, it can greatly help your distribution. So for documentary storytelling, the internet is a revolutionary development. And I think the way technologies evolve, we're going to see changes in our lifetimes, Rick. I think, for example, because of the need for nonfiction storytelling, I think we're going to see more and more platforms for that on the internet.
Our guest on the program, Stephen Most. The book is Stories Make the World, Reflections on Storytelling and the Art of the Documentary. Stephen, time went by way too quickly. Thank you so much for being with us on the program today.
You've been listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. And join us next time for another broadcast of This Week in America.